Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today, public outcry as another detainee has died at the ICE Detention Center in Newark, known as Delaney Hall.
We demand that Governor Mike Shero should open an investigation right now. How many more people we need to wait for her to do something?
And I'll chat with three of the current members of the legendary R&B group Force MDs as the group celebrates its more than four-decade legacy in music with a special concert at Sony Hall.
Being from New York, especially the borough of Staten Island, when no one really made it out there, we was like the first group to ever like make it out of Staten Island, one of the first R&B groups that really made a splash out there.
Not knowing we'd be tagged and titled pioneers of R&B hip-hop.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. New Jersey Governor Mike Shero and members of the state's congressional delegation are demanding an investigation into the death of a Plainfield man held at Delaney Hall, renewing calls to permanently close the privately operated immigration detention center in Newark. Edwin Giovanni Lopez Cornejo died last Saturday after experiencing a medical emergency while in the custody of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. His family says he had diabetes and high blood pressure and was not provided with prescribed medication during the rough 6 weeks he was detained.
This cannot keep happening. How many people more has to die? The release of the medical records, because ICE sent a press release yesterday night saying that he was getting the proper medical attention, and we know that that's a lie. So we want the release of the medical records from the GO and ICE. Also, the demand is to close and release all the detainees in Delaney Hall, especially the medical vulnerable.
Yes.
We don't want this to get better. We don't want this to be transferred. We want the release and the close of this detention center.
That's right.
Also, we demand that Governor Mike Shero should open an investigation right now. How many more people we need to wait for her to do something? It is important and crucial for the Governor Mike Shero to talk about and to go deeply on the investigation of the health crisis that is happening at Delaney Hall.
Lopez Cornejo's young daughter also expressed her anger during this week's news conference.
And I'm going to grow up without a father. And they didn't even let him see me one last time before he died.
A Department of Homeland Security spokesperson identified Lopez Cornejo as a 41-year-old Salvadoran national. According to federal officials, Delaney Hall staff and medical personnel responded to the emergency and called 911. Lopez Cornejo was transported to University Hospital in Newark, where he was pronounced dead. A cause of death has yet to be released pending an autopsy. Governor Shero says she's deeply disturbed to hear of the detainee's death inside Delaney Hall and says her heart is with the individual's loved ones, who she stresses deserve answers about what happened. Governor Shero says her administration is working with members of the state's congressional delegation to gather information about Lopez Cornejo's death while continuing efforts to conduct a full health inspection of the facility. U.S. Senator Cory Booker called Lopez Cornejo's death unacceptable and said initial reports about his medical care were deeply disturbing. You're listening to the award-winning WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Late Development is presenting an unforgettable night with the legendary Force MDs as the group celebrates 40 plus years of groundbreaking music with a special live concert at Sony Hall in New York City, Sunday, August 31st. Recognized as one of the first groups to successfully blend hip-hop and R&B, the Force MDs helped redefine urban music and inspire generations of artists with their signature sound. Just a touch can have me reaching for the love I feel inside for you. Keeps me going, lets me know when you're around. The love I feel is true. This exclusive New York City performance is a rare opportunity to experience one of music's most influential groups in an intimate setting. Sing along to timeless classics like Tender Love, Love is a House, Here I Go Again, Tears, Itching for a Scratch, and many more fan favorites performed live. And joining us today are three members of the current lineup of Forced MDs, original founding member Stevie D. Lundy. Stevie, great to have you here.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, man. Looking forward.
Also joining us is your brother Khalil Lundy and your nephew Zaim Caper. Zaim, how long have you been with the group now?
I'm guessing about maybe 7, 8, maybe.
About seven years. How has it been working with your uncles?
It's been a mess. They run me crazy now, this plane. It's great. I'm learning a lot of business, man, and I'm getting a lot of stage experience, and it feels good doing it with family and just to have this legacy on my back that I have to continue. I feel like I have a forever challenge that I'm up for it, and so it's time to keep going until my knees get to theirs, you know.
I would imagine this is a very special time for you because obviously you're much younger than your uncles, and so when their music was really popular, you didn't get to experience the craze about Tender Love and all those type of classics, right?
Yeah, I didn't get to experience at that time, but now at this time that I'm above age, I understand the assignment of the tender love.
Here I lay all alone, toss and turn, longing for some of your tender love.
Stevie D and Cleo, yeah. I was mentioning before we started this interview, I was watching a 1985 clip of Soul Train, and Tender Love was being performed. Stevie D, tell us, do you remember that experience on Soul Train?
Yeah, no. Just before I said it, Doug, 62 ain't that old, but okay, I know enough.
and you're younger than me, Stevie D. You're younger than me, so there you go.
That, to end our career, was such a monumental moment for us because being from New York, especially the borough of Staten Island, when no one really made it out there, we was like the first group to ever like make it out of Staten Island, one of the first R&B groups that really made a splash out there, and just knowing how important Soul Train was at the time for everybody's storybook of music life, Soul Train. Everybody got to that TV and watched Soul Train every Saturday. The soundtracks of their lives were on Soul Train, and we got to be in that book. Just to know that we came in that book from Staten Island, New York. No one believed us that we was going to be on Soul Train. We had to tell the whole neighborhood, yeah, right. And once it aired, we felt like we won the lottery, man. And every woman, all the women wanted us even more than before. So it was great, a great experience. And meeting Don Kinnear was a big deal too, because, you know, seeing that him being the host and the creator of Soul Train, just meeting him for the first time and he says our name out of his mouth was really big to us. And you know, we was blessed to be on Soul Train 3 times out of our career.
People see you or see the show where you guys did an acapella thing and you're trying to show me how good you could sing. That was kind of cute.
All right, let's check it out.
Wait a minute. You got something else.
One, two, three.
Wait.
How is your love life?
Hearing the wonderful voice of Don Cornelius, and I was like, wow, this guy, you know, had that voice that everybody wanted to have. And,
yeah,
you know, Khalil, when you look back at in the early 1980s, Staten Island and the brothers getting together, take us back to when you first started to have a feeling like this could work. I mean, you guys were a part of the hip hop, you know, scene, and you kind of changed from the Force MCs to the Force MDs, and things started to come together in a very special way. Take us back to those days.
You know, you got to think, we coming from the projects on Staten Island, used to sing in front of our building with our Superman draws on. Mm-hmm. And we elevated from that to doing the high schools.
No streaks. No streaks in the drawers, but go on.
No streaks in the drawers. You mean, just yellow stains. No, anyway. Well, we elevated from that to going on the Staten Island Ferry, but on top of that, winning the New York City annual talent search, like winning a contest between all the 5 boroughs, coming in first place. And from that point, you know, singing on the boat and actually running to Mr. Magic, and it jumps right into there, you know, Tom Silverman and the whole music coming after that. But it, you know, when you're young, you really don't see it. You really don't see it really happening coming from where you're coming from. But I can tell you this, it's like when you look back at it and you say, wow, you know, life does have its moments and these experiences that you don't know what it's going to come out with, not knowing we'd be tagged and titled pioneers of R&B hip hop, you know, coming from where we coming from, because it was always us listening to the radio, listening to who else is doing something, looking on TV, to actually being the person there that people are looking up to.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off that, we were one of the first rap groups to come out of Staten Island also as the Force MCs. But this is not without a record deal, just us being one. We were in that big bubble of rap artists that came out before rap really blew up. We was in that generation that started rap. We was there as the first Staten Island act called the Force MCs. People laughed at us because we was from Staten Island until they heard us. And it all changed. Like, hey, these guys are good. These guys, Staten Island, are pretty good. So that helped us, you know, go towards getting a record deal. So we was in 2 groups. We had the LDs as a singing group. My brother just mentioned winning all the talent shows. The LDs, who's a family-oriented group, and the Force MCs. So I was in 2 groups. So we just combined it together and changed the name to Force MDs and added the hip-hop and the R&B flavor.
Do you feel, Stevie D, that because it was a family kind of thing with the Lundys, that and your late brother Antoine, that's how the blend of the sound was? It was natural.
Yes, and our uncle Jesse D, Jesse Daniels. That's my our mother's brother. Jesse's our uncle. So yes, we all have a similar sound that really blends, you know. And then we, you know, added on the Trisco. You know, Trisco came and added on to his. He added extra flavor and Mercury. But we definitely got a certain sound that people just really identified with and really, really liked. And we was just blessed to be in that environment and all connected dots and made it all happen.
Zion, how exciting is it now that you guys are still making music? You're not just doing the songs of the past. You're putting together new music out there and performing and getting great response.
It feels amazing because I love the fact that my generation, as well as the generation that they came up with, is able to see that they still have the skills and they still have the moves and the sound. And so I'm glad that I'm able to be a part of the blend, the updated blend now, where my peers and my generation can see that, you know, that they're not just the average old school singers. They're not really, I hate to call you guys old school because it's not like, you know.
You say soul school, man.
Soul school.
I feel better now.
But it feels good because I'm glad that people are able to see. It's almost like they're in a new realm of the prime now. They're new prime because if you see the new business, savvy ideas that we have now that they probably wasn't even thinking about in those days. If you see the new way that we're utilizing the legendary stuff and combining it with the new sound along with what I bring, it's just something totally new from what the soul school artists and the new school
artists
is doing, you know? So putting that together, I feel amazing to be a part of that. And I'm just so hyped up to you know, give you guys what we got in store. And I can't really give it all out, but just know that it's happening, 2.0.
Zaim, a good song is a good song no matter what era it comes out of. And the Force MD sound has been sampled by so many artists. That tells you that the songs were great because you don't, you know, sample trash. And so as you, do you feel a responsibility now knowing that your uncles have made this magical music that you're continuing this legacy?
Yes. And it keeps a fire under my bun because I have to show the world where I come from. This is the bloodline, you know, and it's not just me, but you know, the whole family sings, even my children sing now. So it's like, this is something that's been continuing for generations and generations. So before my generation is out the loop, I have to show them why they gave me the torch to continue the legacy. And hopefully the generation after me will understand why is it important to keep this Foursome D's legacy going. Because, like, again, the pioneers of the most two biggest genres in the world, hip-hop and R&B. And so just having that title is like, okay, yeah, it's no flopping. You got to do this until you die. Make good music.
Khalil, on the 31st of this month, there will also be stories being told, not just the music. And, you know, I saw you guys when you were the special guest of Jimmy Jam at the special night at the City Winery. Now here at Sony Hall in New York City on August 31st, the same type of, you know, being able to tell stories and hear some songs. What are some of the stories, without giving all the things away, that you would like people to know about Force MDs?
Well, I think one of the main things I would definitely want to get across is the perseverance of various different things we have had overcome and the challenges that we faced, and we're still here able now to create good music. You got a lot of groups out there that all the members are still alive and moving forth, and we're still here, what's left, able to continue the legacy and keep stuff moving, and just giving people an understanding that these challenges are life challenges, and that, you know, it ain't how you fall, it's how you get up. And it's tough times don't last, but tough people do. And the Foursome D's, we're tough, bottom line.
Stevie D, you mentioned to me before we started this interview that night with Jimmy Jam was very special for you, and you really hadn't had a chance to see Jimmy Jam in quite a while. So take us back to that moment. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it was really special. It was really special because the day before the concert, I had a chance. I was living in Atlanta, and I had a choice to go to Old school reunion in our hometown Staten Island, where everybody goes to meet up. It's like a class reunion, but everybody from the
family
past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I had a choice to go to that, which I was really looking forward to, or go to the Jimmy Jam concert that you had in Atlanta. I says, hey, this will be my chance to see Jimmy Jam, because I didn't see them since we recorded Tender Love in the Studio in 84, 85. I said, this was 40 years, so I made the decision to go meet up with them. And at that time, they had Ruben Studdard, they had Shawnice, a lot of artists like just doing takes of their song on the stage while they perform.
Doing the covers.
And I seen him. Hey man, what's up? He's all excited. See, what's up, man? I said, hey, yeah. And then he's telling about what they've been doing. I said, hey man, this is great. They had all the stars. They had Usher, Jermaine Dupri, everybody was there. And I'm there like, okay, if you do Tender Love, now you know you got one of the Force and D's here. But it was so crazy because I didn't know they was gonna actually call me on the stage to do it. So I'm watching the show, and I happen to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom, and then when I see Usher before, I say, hey, what's up, man? We talk. I go in the bathroom. I come out the bathroom. I see MC Light, and I'm about to go back out. Brad is about to go back out here, Tender Love playing. I say, hold up. That sounds like Tender Love they playing right now. I said, oh, my God. I hope I didn't miss the moment. I went out there, and Ruben Studdard was already out there. I see big Ruben Studdard out there singing it. Here I live. I said, oh, man. I missed it. So I was pretty upset. So I went back to my seat, and my sister and my cousin said, Steve, where was you at? They was calling you on the stage for like 3 minutes trying to find you. And I'm in the bathroom, so I missed that moment. But God works in mysterious ways. Thanks to Elijah, who I met out there, and he said, hey, man, what about you guys meeting up with Jimmy Jam at the City Winery in New York, man, and do Tender Love for the first time ever? And that was the first time ever doing Tender Love since we recorded it in the studio.
Yeah, Elijah Wells, he puts together some wonderful events and is involved in this one as well. So take us back to Tender Love, one of my favorite tunes. When you were performing that, did you guys know that this was going to be one of the biggest songs of the year and then that it would reach number 10 on the Billboard charts and go beyond? Did you have a sense that this was it, that this was the song?
Not the slightest idea. But Jimmy Jam them heard something. They heard something we didn't hear. We thought it was like just a regular song for the soundtrack, of course, of Crush Groove. I always say this story. One of the guys in the group, Uncle Jesse, he's like, hey, man, you got to put some drums in this, man. Got to put some drums in this. I'm telling you. And he's like, no, Jesse, we're going to keep without the drums. It was going back and forth like, drums, no. And he says, Jesse, trust us. Let it be nice and sensual and sexy without the drums. It's going to be a big hit. And boy, was they right. I didn't know it was going to be that big. We was like, wow, he was right. And, you know, he proved my Uncle Jesse wrong. And it became a big hit. You know, of course, it came Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's first top 10 ever crossover hit out of their catalog. So that makes it really special.
Khalil, I have to know, was it To Get Gals? Is that how this group really started? To Get Some Women?
No, that was Stephen Mercury.
Hey, now we got my nephew. We can't get nobody. I'm just playing.
Yeah, if you're going to bring in a guy, don't bring in a handsome guy to take away all the gals. I mean, come on. You have to kind of tone it down a little bit, you know. So these guys.
I told him I'm going to let the gray show. I'll catch up with y'all with the gray. And
He had the senior citizen lady humping on his leg.
Hey, Doug, I was one of the heartthrobs back then. So that a lady's come to me and said, hey, Steve, you still look good. Where's your nephew? Oh, he's over there.
Oh, I love it. But to your credit, you're bringing in all new fans.
Yeah, yeah.
The Force MDs, and that's what's special. The sound. Tell us about Stevie D. Tell us about the sound, because it was unique, and it was a beautiful blend. We talked about how the family, you know, sang together, but the blending of the vocals was really a part of that scene in the 80s where we finally started to hear some wonderful ballads.
We're gonna have sweet dreams, yeah, after we make sweet love. We're gonna have sweet dreams, baby, after we make sweet love. Dreaming of sweet love. Moving in time, the night lasts forever.
Our sound is like a gumbo of Motown, of Jackson's, Smokey Robinson, a little Mark. Everybody had a distinctive little. We all got a great blend, but our influence was so hard on Jackson 5 and Smokey Robinson and the Temptations. We just sucked into all of that sound and just try to like put that emotional feeling into the songs that we did, and it came across pretty, just like Tender Love. Your brother TC sings it smooth, like Marvin Gaye sings it so smooth, and it just whatever we feel in that studio. Because every time we record ballads in the studio, we cut all the lights out and put candles in there just to get that connection sound, and it really worked. You know, even Here I Go Again, another ballad that people really love, and so we just really put the real feeling in it from our heart. We really sing from our hearts, man. It's real.
Speaking of real, Khalil, I know that there has to be a tremendous emotion in singing now, because so much of the history of the Force NDs is gone, as far as, you know, some of the members in the group. So while Zaim and other members are keeping the legacy alive, I know every time you perform, you think about the guys you've lost.
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, it's a good question, because every show we take a moment and we do a tribute and salute to our family and our fallen soldiers with the group. We do that every show. It's not one show we don't do it. Every show we do. So we've been doing that for over like for 20 years, like, you know, as different ones pass down the line. But it's like, but we do that every show. We do that because we feel they're standing there watching us. Because what's important about what you said is most of them, like Trisco, my brother TC,
Mercury,
on their dying bed, they was like, yo, just keep this going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Y'all
keep this going. That was came out of their mouth. So we try to just make sure we stay true to that, because that's something we want to do, because this is something God-given talent that we've been given. We just want to be able to keep it going and pass it on from generation to generation, because music is a connection. It's like, it's magic. It threads people from all parts of the world together. It channels, make people happy, sad. It inspires and stuff like that. So that's like you're channeling the divine part of yourself, that was God-given talent that you got to help inspire and uplift people. And we want to do it. And our brothers who was doing it is like, we're just picking up the ball and running from there, or taking the torch and just running from there. But yeah, yes, every show we definitely stop and make sure everybody knows that, you know, because, you know, it's because a lot of people feel we don't get the credit we deserve. You know what I mean, when you talk about these big award shows and different stuff like that, you know, being the pioneers of it, it's like we're still here. They know we're here. We're still working. Nobody's stopping us from doing what we're doing. We just keep working. And like I said, eventually they'll catch up with us. You know what I mean?
Coming up on August 31st, it's a Sunday, and it will be at Sony Hall. Will be an unforgettable night, and that's with the Force MDs. And you can hear not only their great music, but you can also hear the stories that go along with this fabulous group through the years. I want to thank my guests, Stevie D. Lundy, Khalil Lundy, and Zaim Capers. Guys, great to see you. Keep up the great work. And it's been a pleasure for me to talk to you about your wonderful group.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This was a really good interview.
Oh, make sure you get your tickets on SonyHall.com.
And go to theforcemds.com as well for tickets and merch and music. Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can see my entire interview with the Force MDs on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.